Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Praise the Lord. And so I'm going to preach a message, and it's about different seasons. Different seasons. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. One verse, it starts off and it speaks about seasons. It says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. What you have to know about seasons is that seasons are a part of life. They help define life. I mean, if you know that if life was just the same season all the time, it would get a little bit boring. Huh? How many of you have always wanted to have the same season? People fall into the trap of either getting stuck in a season that's bad or trying to stay in a season that's good. I have a friend, I preached in his church in a place called Oxnard in California. It's right out there on the Pacific coast, about 2 hours outside of Los Angeles. His church literally opens up out onto the beach. You go out onto the beach, it's beautiful out there. And the temperature in Oxnard stays between 70 and 80 all year. Now, I don't know about you, but to someone living in Manchester, that sounds like a little bit of heaven. Huh? It's not too hot and it's not too cold. It's nice. And I was like, man, you know, you guys have got it good here. He went, why? I said, well, man, you got this temperature between 70 and 80. It must be beautiful. You have barbecues. You can lounge about in shorts. You know, you don't have to worry about the snow and ice. And he went, yeah, but you know what? After about 30 years of it, it gets a bit boring. I want to come to Manchester and have some rain. We love rain, man. You know, we want a little bit of snow. Some of our kids have never seen snow. So what we take as a problem, other people look at as a blessing, and vice versa. And sometimes, if we were in the same season all the time, it would get pretty boring. You know, one of the problems, especially in a Victory Outreach church, a church made up of really real people. How many of you know we're real in Victory Outreach? Ain't no fakers and shakers in this house. Can someone say amen? Huh? We're real. Some people call us raw, but we're not. We're not raw. We're well cooked, man. We're cooked like a proper bit of chicken. You know what I mean? But I forgot what I was going to say then. I was getting too much into the chicken buzz. I was going to say something really deep, man, and it's gone. It will come back later on in the message, and when it happens, I'm going to let you know, all right? It was really deep. But being in the same season all the time is no good. That's why we need change. We need to change in those seasons, amen? Now, we all know that we have four seasons of weather. It's the way that it was created. Listen, the way that the seasons are in life is not an accident. It's not just a chance happening that has just come about because of accidental stuff throughout billions of years. It was created by God for a reason, right? That's what we believe. That's what Christians believe. And if people don't believe it, then they don't believe it. But we believe that God created all things according to his purpose, for his will, and ultimately for our benefit. It created things for us. He made atmospheres, he made seasons for us. How many of you know that? Huh? What a blessing. And he made four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and autumn. And sometimes in Manchester, we have them all in one day. Are you with me? It was scorching the other week, wasn't it? And then for about 3 or 4 days afterwards, it was like we was in November. Unbelievable. But we also need to understand that we have also spiritual seasons in our lives. There are times that we go through, and every season has a reason. If, wherever it is that you're at right now, there's a reason for it. You're not there by accident. And if you are, then you need to make sure that you never get there again by accident. Amen? And also, not only do we have four seasons in life we're going to look at, there's only ever four places that you're ever going to be in life. I don't know about you, but I love simplifying complexity. If something's very complex, I want to simplify it. I want to get it down to, the understanding of a child. Because really and truly, that's what I am inside. I want to understand things simply. Is there anyone else in the house that wants to understand things very simply? Let me see your hands. Put your hand up like a child right now. Come on. Praise the Lord. There's four places you're going to be in life. You're either going to be on a mountaintop. This is the place of vision and experience with God. How many of you have ever been on a mountaintop? Where you've experienced God in a special way. You've had vision. Sometimes this happens at conferences. Many of you that are going to World Conference, man, it is going to be a mountaintop experience. When you get out there in LA and there's 25 to 30,000 Victory Outreach people right there in Los Angeles, California, in the sun, praising God, worshiping the same King that we all serve here, the same one that set all these other dudes free from 30-odd countries around the world in the same way that he set us free. Wow, it's going to be a mountaintop experience. Let me tell you. But then you can't stay there on the mountaintop. So the other place you can be is coming down the mountain. Coming down the mountain is the place of putting into reality the things that you've seen and experienced spiritually. A lot of people mess up here. A lot of people want to get from one mountaintop to the next mountaintop. How many of you know there are some Christians that if they could get in a helicopter from one mountaintop experience and be helicoptered to the next mountaintop experience, they would. It's where we get conference junkies. You know, people that go from one conference fix to the next conference fix or one special event to the next special event, and they want to fast forward all of the stuff in between. The problem with that is, you know, it might seem good at first, but then all of those experiences all get jumbled up. And you can't remember what it was that God told you five conferences ago. And then you're wondering why you're a confused Christian because you're a mountaintop junkie. But how many of you know you have to come down the mountain and start putting into reality those things that you've experienced spiritually? That's why God tells you. He tells you so you can put them into practice. But coming down the mountain takes a little bit of balance. How many of you have ever tried to run down a hill, tripped up, fallen over, ended up rolling down like a lunatic? Come on now. Some of you have done that. You've run down the stairs too quick. Some people try and do that after they've had a mountaintop experience and God's given them a word, God's given them a vision. Then the next thing is they're running down the mountain and then they crash. You need a little bit of balance coming down the mountain. And then when you come down the mountain, you go into the valley. I mean, if you're in a valley or you've ever been in a valley, come on now. We always think of valleys as being negative places, don't we? You know, we read in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we think that valleys are about death. But valleys are not about death. Unless you're in Death Valley. But even that, I've been through Death Valley several times. I didn't die. Amen. Valleys are places of life. Valleys are places where the fruit is made into something with purpose. Every October, me and my wife go to Switzerland, and we go there to meet with 100+ missionaries from all over Europe and Eastern Europe and Asia and all different places, the Middle East. And we stay there for 4 days and we fellowship together and we hear stories, amazing stories. But when we go there, we get off the train from Geneva, we get to a place called Egla, and we get off this little place in Switzerland, and then you get on the train, the little chuk-chuk thing that takes you up the mountain. And it's like on these little rollers, man, little old wooden thing. You get in, it's really weird. It's like going back in time. And it goes tick, 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 right up the mountain through the forest. As you're going up the mountain, there's all grapevines on the mountainside. Are you with me? So things can be grown on the mountain. You have a vision, you come down, things can be grown. But there's no one that picks them grapes and then turns them into wine on the mountainside. That happens in the valley. So when you're in a valley experience, when you're in a valley place, it ain't a bad thing. It's actually a place where that reality is actually being put into its purpose. Oh, there might be a little bit of crushing going on. You might be going through it a little bit. But if it ain't crushed, you ain't going to get no juice out. Come on now. And how many of you know, sometimes you need to get a little bit crushed to get some of your juice out. The problem is, I know when someone's going through the valley experience and being crushed, because they always let out a little wine. That's not even in my notes, man. It's just experience speaking right there. Huh? The valley is where what you have is tested. Huh? And where fruit is produced into something worthwhile. How many of you know, if you're not tested, you'll never be promoted? It's only when you pass a test that you ever get promoted. And I don't know about you, but if you're never promoted in your spiritual life, what do I mean by that? I mean that you never ever go into higher heights, different levels, deeper depths, further fields. Are you with me? If you're only ever staying in the same place all the time, then it's a boring life that you're living. Huh? But to get to the next place, there has to be sometimes a little bit of crushing, a little bit of darkness. Come on now. A little bit of testing. Huh? I mean, if you've got a driving license, let me see your hands. I mean, if you're a scrub, you know what a scrub is? You remember the song? Huh? Hanging out the passenger side of your best friend's ride. Come on now. You remember that old school song? We don't countenance, you know, worldly songs in the service, but scrub's a scrub, man. How do you get to drive a car? You get to drive a car because you've passed your, what? Huh? If you don't pass your test, what can you drive?
Nothing.
Scooter, pram. You don't even get to drive the bus that you're on. So the test, when passed, produces the promotion that has beneficial effects within your life. And that's just life, man. If anyone's ever tried to tell you different, then they've lied to you. Life is a series of learning and a series of tests that take you through to new levels of experience, understanding, and benefit. But then when you've been through the valley, don't stay there. You can't stay there. Because once the grapes are crushed and the wine is out and it's been produced, then what? Some people stay in the valley and get drunk on the fruit of the valley. Huh? And then they end up with nothing. And then they can't go to the next place, which is climbing the mountain again. Because they're too drunk on the madness of the valley. Huh? So these are the four places. That climbing the mountain is when you're led into a fresh place of seeking new horizons. Now, each of these seasons and each of these places has their positives and negatives. Winter's cold. Spring's nice, but it's in between. Summer is lovely, but it don't last long. Autumn comes, and then you're worried about winter again. Huh? And then with these other four places, on the mountain, you see more and further, but the wind blows colder here than down below. Sometimes it's lonely. You're on your own when you're having a mountaintop experience. You've put all of that effort into getting up to the top of that mountain, right? You've had all of those things in place to get up to the top of that mountain. But then when you're there, it's only that you're only there for a minute. I mean, have you ever seen people that climb Mount Everest, right? You know, it costs thousands and thousands of pounds, dollars or euros, whatever it is, to get all the preparation, right? I mean, some of the clothes they wear. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in North Face or, you know what I mean, wherever it is, them jackets ain't cheap. And they're just the ones that ain't no good. Are you with me? The water resistant, but they're not waterproof. You know, all that old rubbish. Imagine getting all the stuff. So, and then the tents, and then the food, and then the travel, and then hiring a Sherpa. Come on now. To get to the top of the mountain, months of your life, training beforehand, all the money that you spend out, insurance and this and that. And then you get to the top after months of preparation, after thousands of hard-earned pounds, you get to the top of Mount Everest, you've hit the top, you've got your achievement, you're on the top of the world, and then all you've got time for is to take a quick selfie, and then you've got to go down again. That's all they do. They get to the top of the world, they look out over the roof of the earth, look around, cuddle each other, take a quick selfie, and then they have to go back down before they die. Huh? That's heavy. So mountaintops are, you know, not all they're cracked up to be. They're great, but you just can't stay there, man. Then coming down the mountain, you know, this is where you prepare your plans, where you start thinking and putting things into practice. You're like, I'm going to do this, man. God told me that on the mountain, and now I'm coming down. I'm starting to look at what it is I'm going to do. You're excited. It's great. There's momentum, but you need balance. You need to make sure that you're coming down at the right speed, because otherwise you're going to overbalance, you're going to tumble down, and then you might injure yourself. The amount of people I've seen get a vision from God, get a word from the Lord, and then they want to run with it. But the problem is you're running downhill. And when you're running downhill, you need more balance. You need a little bit more care. And people just crash. And then you never hear them again. How many of you ever seen that? Oh, God spoke to me, man. It's amazing. God's tremendous. I'm going to do this. I've got a vision from God. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it. And then where is that dude? You don't see them no more. Huh? Pros and cons. Then in the valley, it seems harder. It feels darker. You don't want to be there. But that's where the real productivity occurs. That's where you're being tested. That's where you're getting ready to get into the next season. That's where you're putting things in practice. That's where the crushing comes and the fruit comes out. Huh? And then climbing the mountain. Ooh, it's exciting. Getting ready to go to another level. But it takes desire and it takes perseverance. So these seasons and places are necessary for our lives to be lived and for us to mature. And if we pass through them successfully, everyone say successfully. The next time we face them. Let me say that again. The next time we face them. Some of you know, you're never going to be where you're at less than once. Huh? You're in it now. That means that you're going to be in it again. You're going to be in it more than once, more than twice. You know, I've been through seasons in 22 years of Christianity, 10, 20 times. You go through these seasons again and again and again. It depends on your level of maturity, where you're going, what you want to see. Are you with me? The next time you face them, if you go through them right, you will gain more from them than before. This is the key. If I'm going to go through the valley, I want to make sure that the fruit that I produce, that the wine that comes out, is going to be good vintage. Come on now. Amen. Not some old grape juice. Some of you know there's a difference between grape juice that you buy in a cardboard container in Aldi, and wine that might cost you £1,000 a bottle. Huh? Season's definition in Merriam-Webster's dictionary is two things. Firstly, it's a time characterized by a particular circumstance or feature. You know when you're in a different season because it's a different feature. There's a different circumstance involved. Secondly, it is a period characterized by or associated with a particular activity. If you're in the valley, whining. Or phenomenon. If you're on a mountaintop, you can't breathe properly. Huh? In the Hebrew word, in that scripture that we read about seasons, for everything there is a season, the Hebrew word is very key. It's the Hebrew word zaman. Zaman. And it literally means an appointed time. So what we see from this is that your seasons are appointed. You have to go through what you have to go through to get where you have to get. Huh? Ain't no shortcut in the cutting edge. You can't go over it. You can't go around it. You can't go under it. You've got to go through it. Huh? This is important because it shows that it's rare that you'll be anywhere in life by accident. Huh? The only reason you'll ever be in a season by accident is if you've been living accidentally. What does that mean? That means that you haven't taken care of what you needed to take care of. And you've just found yourself in this season by accident. If you put accident into a sentence, it's never a positive sentence, is it? You know what I mean? Oh, he's in hospital. What happened? He had an accident. Are you with me? So accidental stuff is the opposite of intentional stuff. But seasons are appointed. God allows us to go through these things. And it's that way to help us progress to maturity. Someone once said, if you want to know your past, look into your present conditions. If you want to know your past, look into your present conditions. Because where you're at is based upon decisions you made earlier on. Are you with me? Can't blame anyone else. It's decisions that you've made. And you're in a season because of the decisions you've made. But also, you're in that season to help you make different decisions for the next season. God allows us to go into these places. You have to understand this. So that we can make better decisions to get better outcomes. If you want to know your future, someone said, look into your present actions. What you're doing now, the decisions you make today, you can tell someone's future, where they're going to be in the future, because of decisions that you're making today. If you're making accidental, humanistic, selfish decisions, then guess what you're going to end up with later on down the line? You're going to end up with a self-absorbed, selfish kind of life, and you're going to have to go through another season again and unwrap you from that stuff. Does that make sense? Here's five things that I've learned that I believe that can help us to successfully negotiate our seasons. I mean, if you want to know how to get through the seasons, let me see your hands. Five things. Number one, seasons are not good or bad, they're just different. Seasons are not good or bad, they're just different. We all know that we have these four seasons of weather, these spiritual seasons, these different places. But you have to understand that these seasons of spirituality, they don't begin and end at set times during the year. They happen, we experience these highs and lows with our relationship with God that match where we're at, our life situations. Are you with me? So it's not like it's August, you know, I'm in spiritual summer right now. Some of you know, it might be summertime in the natural, but it's wintertime in the spirit for you. Hello. Your brother or your sister might be in the valley and they're down on the floor, their bottom lip. They're tripping up their bottom lip. They're looking grumpy. They're messed up. They're making little whiny noises. And you might be right up on the mountaintop. Sometimes, quite often, that happens in marriage. The wife will be on the mountaintop. The husband will be in the valley or vice versa. Because it's a personal thing that God does in our lives. Are you with me? And you have to understand that they're not good or bad. They're just different. Our choices determine our progress through a season or a place. But if you think of the seasons as good or bad, then you'll try and skip through the bad and you'll try and camp in the good. And this is a problem because you can't stay on the mountaintop. You'll die. And this is, got it. God's good to me, man. One of the problems with Victory Outreach, we're very real, right? But we're not messed up, we're not stupid, we're not weird. But one of our problems is not prosperity. It's not poverty. Some of you know, we know how to deal with that. How many of you know how to deal with poverty? How many of you know how to get by with no money and really make it happen? How many of you know how to live in the ends and make it through without being a victim? Come on now. How many of you know how to live with nothing and make it something because that's how you were brought up and you've seen it all around you and you ain't made a bad job of it because you're looking good? Come on now. So when we're there in that place of poverty, we hang on to God. We come to church. We pay our tithes. Come on now. Because 10% of nothing is all right. We don't mind paying 10% of nothing. Are you with me? So when we ain't got nothing, everyone's a giver. When you're getting £50 on a social, you're giving a fiver. It's like a big sacrifice, you know what I mean? When you're getting your student loan, you're giving and you're doing that and you're being faithful. Our problem is not poverty. Our problem's prosperity. Huh? Your problem weren't when you were single and you were praying for a rib. Because you was praying. Hello. Your problem weren't when you were single and you were praying for the knight in shining armor to come rescue you from the hooded claw. You know what I mean? Huh? Ain't a problem. Problem ain't when you ain't got a job. Problem ain't when you ain't got a car. Problem ain't when you ain't got that stuff. Problem comes when you get it. Oh, watch this. All of a sudden, you've come out of uni. You were living on a bag of noodles a day. Huh? And cornflakes from the pound shop. They might as well have called them card flakes. They just tasted like cardboard. And noodles, not even curry noodles, plain noodles. You'd have to season them with whatever was in the house, ketchup, vinegar. Huh? How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have been there? Come on now. When me and my wife first came up, when we first got married, we had nothing. Nothing. It was a treat for us to go and we used to go out on dates and go around looking. I'd take her out shopping to the charity shops. We had nothing. Nish. Are you with me? And we was there, we were holy, we were pressing into God. Huh? But what about when someone gets what it is they want? What about when all of a sudden Miss Wright comes along? Hello. Huh? God's took you through the Miss Wright now and the mistake and the mischievous and the misdemeanor. And now you've got Miss Wright. Problem is, a lot of people then stop praying, stop coming to church. Come on now, they don't press in no more because they got what they want. You've been praying for a child, you get a child, next thing no one sees you. You get a job, next thing no one sees you. Oh, I can't come no more. Why? I'm tired from work. You prayed for the job, you said, oh, God, give me a job. And then all of a sudden, no, you ain't at church no more. Why is that? God gave you the job. Now what, you ain't got no time to press in with God no more? Are you with me? Can I be honest with you? Hello? And what happens is we try and stay in the good season and skip through the bad season, but it's in the bad season where all that stuff is actually put into its right packaging. So that when you get more, you ain't going to lose it, cut out, drop the ball, go missing, but you're still going to press into God because in the valley, you've realized that the key is the blesser, not the blessing. But there's lots of people that they don't do that. Huh? Once they get the blessing, blessers out the window. Don't need you no more. Hello? So you have to understand that seasons are not good or bad. If you think of them like that, then you're gonna go a little bit wonky. They're just different. Huh? Because if you're in a bad season, does that make you a bad person? Huh? It don't even mean you've made a bad decision. Are you with me? It's like saying, I've been at uni for 4 years and now I've got to do exams. I'm a bad person. You wouldn't say that, would you? You say that I've been learning these lessons and now I'm in a season where I'm being tested as to what I've learned. Perspective change, paradigm shift, different mentality. Huh? When you then look at it, you can rejoice when you're going through suffering because you know what it's producing in you. Hello. Huh? And then when you're in a good season, then you still, it don't mean that you're a good person. Otherwise, every billionaire in the world is more holy than you. And we know that ain't necessarily true. Huh? Are you with me? They're just different seasons. And they have the reasons. Just understand what the reason is. Amen? Because when you understand what the reason is, then you can finish each season in the right way. And if you know, it's important to finish the season you're in before you move into the next one. Second thing, don't let the season define you. It moves on from that. If you're in a good season, don't mean you're good. If you're in a bad season, don't mean you're bad. It's just different. Just as you're not defined by one bad choice. Some of you, you know, support other teams other than West Ham. That don't mean you're bad. Are you with me? Don't be defined by it, because you're going to get another chance to try it again when this season comes back around. You're in that season because it's necessary for your growth. The circumstances you face are tools to sculpt the image of Christ upon you. That's what the word character means. It's Christ who defines you. So don't let failure be fatal or success make you too comfortable. Go through that season. Amen. Maybe you're playing catch up with the last season. Well, catch up in this season and make sure you finish this season right so you can move on to the next season. Number three, try to grow through the season. Don't just go through the season. People only go through the season when they think the seasons are bad or good. But if you understand that every season has a reason, then you grow in the place that you're at. If I ask you where you was at right now, what season you're in, you could tell me. And then I would ask you, are you growing? What are you learning in this season? And you have to think about it. What am I learning in this season? When you go through seasons of sickness, what are you learning in the season? You go through seasons of poverty, what are you learning in the season? You go through seasons of blessing, what are you learning in the season? Are you with me? So you need to learn and grow. Every season has lessons for us. Growing through and going through are matters of perspective. We can't control what happens around us, but we can control what happens inside. You can't control how people treat you, but you can control how you respond to what they do. Someone said, John Homer Miller, he said, your living is determined not so much by what life brings you as by the attitude you bring to life. Not so much by what happens to you as the way your mind looks at what happens. Circumstances and situations do color life, but you have been given the mind to choose what the color should be. Ooh, come on now. What season are you in? You got the blues? Or you got a fiery red season you're in right now? Some of you might be in a little pink season. Come on now. Or beige. Number four. Don't get stuck in a season. Too many people get stuck in a season, man. You know, you can't be going through the valley season for as long as you've been going through the valley season. Are you with me? Some people are always in the valley, aren't they? They make it a thing that they're in the valley. They're always saying how miserable they are, how hard it is, how dark it is, how painful it is. Oh, woe is me. No, you shouldn't be in that season. You're just there because you're seeking attention. I'm sorry. You shouldn't be in that season, right? And some of you shouldn't be on the mountaintop as long as you are. Well, you're a spaceman? You got a spacesuit? What's the matter with you? Every time you see someone, how are you doing? Oh, blessed, brother. I'm blessed. Blessed, pastor. I'm blessed, doubly blessed, truly blessed, fully blessed. More blessed than anyone else. I'm so blessed. You've been saying that for 5 years, and I know what's been going on in your family, and I know that you don't press in, and I know you ain't been reading your Bible. You ain't that blessed for that long. You're stuck in a season. Don't deceive yourself. You can't stay in a valley too long. You can't be on a mountaintop too long. You can't be on a mountainside too long. Go through your seasons. Don't get stuck. Finish it well. Learn what you need to do. Sometimes it's one thing, and that season might last a week. We're thinking that spiritual seasons last the same as natural seasons. You know what I mean? Well, I'm going through this for 3 months. I'm being blessed. Then in 3 months' time, you know. No. Sometimes a blessing comes and it lasts for a day. Enjoy it. Enjoy the blessing. God speaks to you one time on the mountaintop. It's like, wow, amazing. God is real. Then you come down in the valley and God says nothing. Hello. But on the mountaintop, I heard your voice when I didn't really need it. Now I'm in the valley, I need to hear your voice and you ain't saying nothing. And the reason why is because the teacher is always silent when the test is taking place. Simple. Huh? Trust what you heard on the mountain when you're in the valley and do what he said. Hello. Don't get stuck in the season. Everyone say, don't get stuck. Turn around, look at someone, say, you sticking. Huh? You're a sticky believer. Hello. Huh? All seasons change. So don't despair because you won't stay there. But the season comes back again. Just because you ain't in a season of blessing don't mean to say a season of blessing ain't just about to turn up on your doorstep. Hello. Huh? Depends how you're growing through the seasons. Does that make sense? Wave your hand in the air if it's making sense because we're coming into a land. Huh? All seasons change. It's not a question of if, but when. And your preparation is essential if you want to be positioned properly for when everything changes again. It's like when summer comes in your house, you pack away all your coats, don't you? At least Vicky does in my house. I go out and put a coat on and it's... Where's the coat?
Oh, it's in a suitcase under the bed.
What? Well, it's summertime. You don't need a coat. It's Manchester. Always got prepared. You know what I mean? But also, you can be walking about in shorts, doing your thing, your little summer dresses and all that. But you know, in December, pack them puppies away, man. You need to get the Ugg boots out and stuff again. You need some furry things going on. Puffer stuff. So you have to be prepared for the season, for the next one that's coming. But if you're stuck in it, you're never going to prepare for the next one. Huh? Last one, number five. Understand that you're not alone in your season. God's with you. He's with you in every season. In fact, the Holy Spirit leads you into that season. Just as he led Jesus into the wilderness. Wow, God did that. Led him in to where the devil was. We pray, lead us not into temptation. Huh? Are you with me? And we need to pray that. We don't want to be tempted. Deliver us from the enemy. But how many of you know, sometimes God will take you into a place where the enemy is going to test you to see if God can trust you. Hello? Because he's not, I don't know about you, but whenever I'm raising up a leader in this church, I don't want a clean, squeaky leader who's never been through stuff. I want a leader with scars. If I'm going to license a pastor, I'm going to check his shield. I want to make sure that his shield is dented. I want blood on that puppy. You know what I mean? And I'm going to test it to make sure that none of it's mine. Hello. Sometimes you got blood on your shield just because you were standing next to me when I was fighting. Hello. I want to make sure some of it's yours. Show me your scars. Tell me your failures. What, Pastor? Surely, you know, in a CV you tell everyone your successes. Huh? You lie mostly, don't you? You lie about your education, you know what I mean? You're evangelistic with your experience. Come on now. But in the spirit, we want to see, have you overcome some stuff? Have you been through some stuff? How many valleys you successfully negotiated? How many mountaintops have you been up and come down from? How many words of God have you obeyed? How many changes have happened in your life? Are you different now than you were when you first got saved? Is there evidence of your salvation? Has their faith produced some stuff within your life? Have you fought the enemy? Are you seasoned? Ooh. How many of you, I'm closing with this, stand to your feet. God's with you, man. Everyone knows. Everyone knows, I think it's safe to say, that West Indian chicken is probably the best type of chicken in the world. Huh? Amen? West Indian chicken. You know why? Because they get that chicken and they love the chicken. Right? They marinate the chicken for days. They massage the marinade into the chicken. They relax the chicken. Chicken's already dead, but it's really relaxed as well. It's cool being dead. they season it. And that seasoning takes time, and it takes a process, and it takes a person loving on it. Obviously, I'm laughing about this, but it's true. That's what God does. He takes you for a season. He massages you in it. He picks you up in it. He protects you in it. He provides for you in it. He's only took you into that season because He trusted that He taught you what you needed to learn so that you could take the test and pass. I don't know what season you're in, church. I know what season this church is in, but individually, I don't know, man. Every one of us is probably in different seasons. The life of this church is probably like a heartbeat on a heart monitor. Some are in the up position, some are in the down position. Some are on a mountaintop, some are in the valley. As long as we're not just trying to go through the same season all the time, because that means you're dead. Huh? Lift up your hands and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm in this season, I think. Help me. Help me. Help me negotiate it. Come on, begin to pray right now. Help me negotiate this season that I'm in. Help me change. Help me learn. Help me grow. Some of you, you're stripping away bad habits. Huh? God's rubbing away those little sharp edges and those defects. Some of you have been given a vision and you're working out how to put it into practice. Holy Spirit, in this place, I pray today. It's Father's Day. Father's Day is a day, a landmark day for fathers. For some, it's a high point for the fathers that have their children giving them cards. It's a mountaintop. It's a validation. It's a beautiful place. For others who either can't be with their children or their fathers are no longer with us, it is possibly a valley place. But they're just demarcation zones. Places that we can learn, grow, change, develop. There's a reason. Help us to be spiritually sensitive that we would put the right reason to the right season so that we can progress and go through this life from glory to glory to glory. Watch this right now. Watch this. Watch me. Look at me right now. God is doing something in your life in these seasons that eventually you're gonna see it. All the things you've been through. You have your ups, you have your downs. You have your ups, you have your downs. You have your ups, you have your downs. Amen? But if you get the up and you get the down and you get the up and you get the down and you get the up and you get the down and you join them all together, that's your crown. One day in eternity, you're going to realize that your crown has been made up of all the ups and the downs and the ups and the downs and the ups and the downs of life that you successfully negotiated through the power and the glory and the grace of Jesus Christ. You're going through it. It's going to be fine. You're going to get to the other side. But when you get to the next season, make sure that you're not the same as you were in the last one. Amen? Father, in this place, I pray, bless everyone today. Bless the fathers. Bless the fathers. Comfort those that have lost their fathers. And Lord God, encourage those that are fathers that have not access to their children because of decisions that have been made by them or other people. Lord, today, whatever season we're in, let us remember and never forget that you are with us in this season. In the name of Jesus. Very quickly, I want all the fathers to come up and stand in front of this platform right now. If you're a father, I want you to come and stand in front of this platform right now. All the fathers, wherever you're at, come and stand here right now. Come on, dads, I know there's more. Very quickly, I want to tell you something right now, dads. Thank you. that you're valued. You hold one of the most important roles on this earth. You have some of the heaviest weight of responsibility that there is. It's different to that of a mother, but it is just as essential. In fact, in the day and age that we live, in the season that we're in history, it is very, very important that you are the type of father that God intends you to be. Some of you I know have made mistakes in your history, but just because things happened in your history, that doesn't need to mess up the destiny that you have and that your children have. One of the things that you can do that you could never do before was pray. Whether you're in contact with your kids or not, in the natural, you can be in contact with them in the spirit via God. You can pray for them. You can bless them. You can encourage them in the spirit. You can lift them up to God. And if they are with you in the natural, then you can show them the footsteps that they should take. Because little kids learn more from footsteps than signposts. Huh? Monkey see, monkey do, man. One day you're going to find your son trying to shave because daddy does. Or working out because daddy does. Huh? Or lunching out because daddy does. Hello. Huh? And your daughter, if you have a daughter, well, you are the dragon slayer, man. They look to you as the dragon slayer. They're the princess. And you are the protector. Amen? Keep doing it. They need us, man. They need you. Dads, I want you to put your hands up. Lift your hands up. I want everyone to pray for these right now. I want you to bless them. Bless them all over this place. Say the type of blessing that you would want. Speak out the blessing of God over every single one of these dads in this place. Father, we pray your blessing, your heavenly blessing over every one of these dads. We pray, God, that you would increase their understanding of their position and their role, that they would increase in their understanding of their responsibility, that you would strengthen them in areas that they've been weak, God. And we pray in the name of Jesus that they would have a father anointing over them right now. A father anointing to understand what it means, to understand the weight and the gravity and the beauty and the simplicity of it. It becomes complicated. They second guess themselves, but we take authority over every negative force, every negative opinion, every curse of the enemy, of witchcraft, of Satanism that has been cast on this earth over fathers. And in the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. Speak blessing over your fatherhood, blessing over your children, success in these endeavors, reconciliation where necessary. And don't worry about the state of the world. Worry about the state of your relationship. Because if you look at the world, you're going to fall to bits. Just look at the things that are in front of you. Take care of that. It's the starfish on a beach scenario. There's thousands, and the guy was throwing them in one at a time. Someone said to him, what difference does that make? And he said, it made a difference to that one. You make a difference with what God places in front of you. You take care of that. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you and we bless you and we praise you today. In Jesus' name. Dads, I salute you. And I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have an amazing day. Don't look back. Look forward to what God is doing in your life. In Jesus' name.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.